I'm going to show you a picture today, and you tell me. Don't say it aloud. You just look at the picture, and then I'm going to ask you what you see. Don't say it aloud. Here's our picture. And now, what do you see in that picture? Brian, what do you see? Star. Brian sees a star. Anybody see anything else?
Lovers.
Yeah, there's a couple kissing over there. So I'm just saying, you got two expected answers probably in this picture. You either see a couple kissing or a shooting star. Now, just for my sake of purposes, these guys, I'm sure they might just be having a great old time kissing each other. But since, you know, while they're kissing, they're also missing something that's occurring behind them. It's like, well, maybe you say, well, when I'm my wife and I kiss, we see stars. It's probably because you're banging foreheads together. maybe you're moving in too close. I don't know. But anyway, if you see a star, that's great. But let me show you. You'll miss something. If you don't see that star, maybe you're missing it because you're preoccupied. Example of that, you're watching a football game. It gets down about the two-yard line. Like, yeah, they're ready to score. And somebody says, hey. You go, why? Hey. What happened while you looked away? They scored. We were sitting down there watching Giles play one night. Now, do you remember that? We were just sitting there. It's cold. Giles was running a reverse. And it's like, oh, yeah. About that time, Rachel said, Mommy. And she went, and everybody yells. And they're like, you know, we don't have instant replay of Giles. You know, thanks to DVR and all that stuff, you might not miss it. But while we looked, they scored while you were gone. Or have you ever been watching a TV show, and at the end of the movie, when end of the show, whatever it might be, they're having a chase scene, and the chase scene is going to tell you what it, this is my TV, by the way. I took a picture of it at the house. They're having a chase scene at the very end, and I believe this is actually a James Bond movie. They're chasing each other down the street there, and you get right to the end of the TV show, right to the end of the movie, and it just seems like, has this ever happened to you? Ring, phone ring, you ever do that? You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Again, some people just stop that, like, yeah, it didn't fool me, but in my day, in my TV, you pick up the phone, you turn around, credits are rolling. It's like, what happened? You probably look like this guy right here. Like, oh! You look up, they scored a touchdown. Oh, man. Movie's over. Oh! And while they're embracing, guys, did you see that shooting star? What? So you probably asked two questions. Hey, what happened? Or maybe this. Did I miss anything? You know, a couple weeks ago we had a service here. Three people come up and prayed with me afterwards. That encouraged me. And if somebody came up next week and they weren't at church, like, did I miss anything? Russ, what would I tell them? Yeah, the Holy Spirit roamed the room while you were gone. Wow, really? I missed that? But we don't just miss things today. They missed it a long time ago. Here's a picture of what some people missed. A long time ago, heaven came down. Really? Heaven came down to earth? I must have missed that. Yeah. Maybe involved in the kiss, or maybe the phone rang, or you talked. Heaven came down. This place called heaven come down in the form of this. This is heaven right here. Y'all realize that? Something hit me the other day. I'm a sensitive person. But something hit me the other day. Wow. Jesus sits where we've learned about heaven. Where's Jesus sit?
The right hand of God.
Right hand of God. His throne was empty for 33 minutes. Do you ever know about that? Angels come by. God the Father, how? He's still gone? Well, he's down saving humanity. Sure miss him. Why don't you go down and encourage him? Can we? Yeah. Angels come down. Matter of fact, when Jesus was born, the world just missed him. It's like the shooting star. It's like the NBA game. It's like the football play. It's like the movie. It's people just went on about their way, not realizing that heaven had snuck in the back door, and Jesus shows up that night, and they had no clue. Now, not everybody was like that. Jesus wasn't about to let his son leave heaven. And why did he do this? Because Jesus couldn't just show up 33 years old and say, here I am. He couldn't just magically appear. Because he wanted to be just like us. He wanted to be born. Everybody in this room's got that in common with him. He wanted to be born of a virgin. We weren't born of a virgin. He's got that down pat. But he didn't want to be physically born. He's like me. So Jesus was born. So he could grow up. Was he helpless at this state? Well, I mean, Herod tried to kill him. So Joseph and Mary, I just don't understand all that. Jesus says, I want to grow up just like you. And just that way you'll never be able to say, well, you don't understand. I do understand. I'm going to grow up. And I think he was still fully God, but he's now fully man, and you mix those two together. Don't quite understand all that. Max Lucado wrote in a book one time, he says, Jesus probably had a pimple right here like we do. He said a woman got mad and wrote him and said, my God doesn't have a pimple. And it's like, his point was just saying, Jesus is real. He's us. He hurts. You think he's ever pulled a splinter out in the carpenter shop? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done that before. But Jesus wasn't about to show up. God the Father said he, I'm going to announce it. Here's he let angels do this. Angels sang when Jesus was born. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill to man. So the angels sang. Now God told me something this week, and I thought, wow, you know, I never thought about that. Angels sang when Jesus was born. Angels sing, guess what, for another reason too. I thought this was cool. Here's the other reason. Angels sang when I was born, when I was born again. Because here's what the Bible says. Luke 19:10. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. On the day you got saved, angels just cranked it up again. Y'all ready, guys? Somebody else got, oh yeah. And they sing. So they sing when Jesus is born. They sing when I was born again. Isn't that cool? Jesus and I got something in common then. So I'm born physically like him. Angels sing when we're born. Me born again. So these guys, angels played an important part. Now this is what the only time the angels helped out. Check out this. The angel showed up at this time too. Angel showed up. Who's this guy who gets a warning? He's going to be a daddy. Who's this guy? This man is the angel Gabriel, messenger angel. And he shows up and he speaks to an older man. He visits Zacharias. Zacharias had prayed for years and years and said, please let me be a daddy. You know what Zacharias' name means? Of course, he says, I forgot you, Zacharias. You are going to be a daddy. Oh, I'm old now. And my wife is... well advanced in years. You're still going to be a daddy. Are you sure? And you got, okay, because you doubted, you won't be able to speak for a while. But you're going to be a daddy. And your son is going to grow up to be John the Baptist, and he's going to be the forerunner of Christ, and he's going to forerunner of the Messiah. I've been reading about him for years. This man's a priest. You think he knows about the Messiah? So when he said John the Baptist is going to be the forerunner, he's going to be the one to announce to the world that Jesus is coming. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was John's key message. Zacharias put two and two together, and he thought, the Messiah is coming.
Yep.
So not everybody was embraced and didn't see the star. Not everybody was caught up in worries and doubts and busyness and forget that a piece of heaven came down. He was looking forward. He knew if his son John the Baptist was going to ask Jesus, work with him, then Jesus was on the way. And of course, you know, an angel visited this lady and said, hail, highly favored one. And this is a glimpse of salvation, by the way. He shows up and he says, God wants to come live in you. He's still asking that today. God speaks to someone's heart, maybe here today, and he says, you don't know me. Can I come live in your heart? And I hope our answer would be the same as what Mary said. Mary said, it is, I am your servant. It is as you say. In other words, yes, you can come into my heart. Now, anybody a mom, raise your hand, please. Now, while you're a mom, remember on the first couple, in the first couple months, moms, you probably said, oh, I'm starting to show. Isn't that cool? I'm starting to show. A couple months later, boy, you're going to have a big one. They thought Jenny was going to have twins. Annie was 10 pounds, 11 and a half ounces. He was born on Tuesday and Wednesday. Doctor said, all right, oh, my back. You know, just handed me, oh, no, it wasn't quite that. Annie's a big boy. Jenny, you're starting to show. Wouldn't it be cool if it worked the same way spiritually? Rest is starting to shave. Yeah. Jesus is coming out of me. Jesus is just, Mary, you got Jesus, and Jesus is calling you to grow. You're starting to show. Man, are you? You're going to have that baby. What if it come up to you and say, are you going to have that? What if they could come up and see you spiritually? You're starting to show. You're starting to show the glow of Jesus. Here, you're starting to show that she too was, oh, it was tough. She was starting to show. Let me tell you this. Moms, when you raised your hand a minute ago, you started to show. Andy was born at Lewis Gale on May 8th, 1983 at 5:01 in the afternoon. I don't know when your baby was born, but you probably didn't have to do this right here. You probably didn't have to say, we got to go from Nazareth through down into Bethlehem. That's roughly a 100-mile trip. Takes you 8 to 10 days to make it, and you're pregnant riding a donkey. You gain a little bit more appreciation for Mary. Mary's riding a donkey. Like, oh, this baby's coming along. We moved in our house on May the 7th. Unpacked boxes, put everything away. Andy was born the next day. You think it had anything correlation there? Jenny was so active, that's why I think it just sort of like, here comes Andy. We had to move into the house so Andy could have a home. We did, beat it by about 8 hours. So Jesus shows up in Bethlehem, and they made this 100-mile trip that took them 8 to 10 days. And by the way, they could have taken 2 or 3 routes. They could have taken a way that they could have been in danger, or they could have taken a longer way. But no matter what, they showed up in a breath of heaven in that day. A breath of heaven. That little baby representing heaven. It's almost like God breathed and Adam was made in Genesis. God breathed, Adam shows up. And here, God shows up. God the Father is sitting there, Jesus beside him. Now Jesus is no longer sitting at the right end of the throne of God. There's a wound right here. A breath of heaven. Let me show you what Mary sort of went through. I'm going to try this a little bit of a video right here. What did Mary go through? Well, we're going to see. Share that video on the floor. If Mary, after riding 100 miles, arrived, knocked on the door, the innkeeper says, I really don't have any room. I wonder what he later thought. He had no room for who? Jesus. And that, check this out and see.
Chosen me now to carry.
did the wise men show up that night?
No.
It's about a year or so later, so that might not be. But you get the idea that Jesus is on planet Earth now. Frankincense, and what was the other one?
Myrrh.
What does myrrh often accompany? Death. And a painkiller. So it's, maybe that's why that guy was slow bringing the last one in. He, if you believe what you were bringing in that day, you realize gold for a king, frankincense, that's what like incense bring to a Messiah God, and then myrrh for like, wow, just called him Lamps of the Cross. Well, I got last couple of reminders for you here. And we go right there, slide. So Jesus himself has now arrived on earth. He was like a shooting star from heaven, using that example. Shooting star, he's like a breath of heaven. Who definitely knew he was here? Who definitely knew he was here?
Mary.
Mary knew he was here because Mary had him living in. You know who ought to know God's here on earth more than anybody if you're a believer? You ought to know God's power and you ought to know that he's in your heart and he's life and people ought to just see. You're showing, you're growing. So this breath of heaven has now entered the picture. Joseph's probably just thinking, I had nothing to do with it at all. I remember when Jenny would nurse Andy when he was just so tiny, we'd get up in the middle of the night and I'd get up too. I don't know why, but anyway, I just felt like, can I do anything? No. So I'd pick him up and hand him to her, and then I'd just about slide down the wall and wait until I could put him back. And then pretty soon I'd just stay in bed because I thought I'm not doing anything anyway. Well, Joseph didn't even left. Mary's holding her baby. Maybe Mary, I love that verse that said Mary pondered these things. She's saying, oh, my baby. And she just caught a glimpse of the cross. And she lays him in a manger, wow, from wood to wood. So he goes from a manger when he was a little baby and hangs on the cross. And that woman right there watches him grow. And daddies, we're there for our kids. Don't worry about it. Nobody loves you like your mama. Okay? Check out this next thing. Let me ask you this. Just a couple quick reminders. If Jesus shows up today, would we even know it? Again, it's sort of like the shooting star I'm trying to get you to think. If Jesus shows up, a lot of people in Bethlehem had no clue that God had showed up. They still don't have a clue that he's around today. This is a dance around Christmas time in 1961. The place is my resident expert of Great Britain just corrected me because Andy knows his stuff. They had a huge crowd there. You know how many people they had? I'll tell you in a second. They were dancing and this group up here, they had a battle of the bands that day. They had four bands show up. Such famous bands as Here's the Flyer for it. One of the bands that was playing that day was Ivan Jay and the Jaywalkers. How many people have heard about them? Yeah, all the hands go up. Nobody knows those guys. And they were sort of competing against this other band. This other band, I don't know, maybe you've ever heard of them. This band was George Harrison and John Lennon and Paul McCartney. This is Pete Best. Ringo Starr hadn't even showed up yet. This is the Beatles. If you'd have known the Beatles were playing, you'd have said, and you got to see Paul McCartney one time. Probably paid $75 and set up in a nosebleed, look like ants down there playing guitars, you know. It's like you're so far back, you don't even hardly know who it is. About $60 or $75. I paid a few dollars the other night to go to a concert, but I was sitting on the front row. Well, these guys, so here it is. Here's the dance. Here's what these guys, how many people were there? Here's the whopping big total. How many people showed up at this dance? 18. Counting the Beatles, it was 22.
Oh.
How much money did they pay? Well, if you checked the flyer out just a minute ago, they paid $5. Well, it's probably £5 since it's Great Britain. But just in your $5 to see the Beatles play, go to a dance, and that included the buffet. 18 people show up. So quick math will tell you, they made $90 that night. Yeah, big time. $90 to watch the Beatles. That's what the Beatles earned. Well, if I'd have known the Beatles were playing, I'd have went. Translate spiritually. If I'd known Jesus was coming back, I'd have been ready. He's coming back. Hello? So I should be ready? Yeah. If I'd known Jesus was going to be born, I'd have went out there and sang with the shepherds. I'd have sang with the angels. Well, he showed up, and some people didn't believe it, so they just stayed at home. That night crew working 11 to 7 for the shepherds, wonder what they talked about when they went home. Honey, how'd the sheep go tonight? You know that Messiah we've been looking for? He showed up tonight. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. I saw him. Really? Yeah. So a handful of people saw him. Here's what I would ask you to think about. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and yet many in Jesus' day were totally unaware that God himself had entered the world. What's that got to do with us today? Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, and yet many of us seem to be totally unaware that he's waiting for us. He's going to return one day, and he's waiting on us. We're going to respond to his invitation. Some people say, nah, not today. Jesus is here, you know, you can see him. Well, how do I see him? Well, it's in faith. They could literally put their eyes on him. But Jesus is around you. Don't miss him. The Master has shown up. He's left heaven to come down and get us, and it's like, I just don't want to miss it. Now, at this time of the year, even most of the world will turn and admit there's Christmas. Hopefully, the world will even sing some Christmas carols, but then they pack away the stuff, put in the attic, and Jesus is gone for a while. I got to see one of the guys the other night, my favorite Christian contemporary singer of all time, Stephen Curtis Chapman, got to go down to the Civic Center and see, just like, I want you to meet Jesus. Well, you know, I wanted to meet Stephen Curtis. I'd shaken his hand years ago. And a few of us got to sit in there in the front rows, and he came out, and he and the guy from Third Day, Brandon Heath, and they talked. And then they said, we've got time for about 5 or 6 questions, so all the questions. And Jenny was poking in his eye like, you've got to say something. I think, well, and I stood up and I asked a question. I said, here's my question. First of all, I love you, man. That's what I told him. I said, you know, your music has let me see your family and your faith, and it's got me through some tough times. I mean, you must have wrote songs for me half the time. But I said, man, love you. He gets down off his stool, comes over and goes, gives me a hug. What's your question? I want you to autograph my Stephen Curtis Chapman guitar for me. Okay, I get it. So everybody's whisked away, nobody's there, and the guy comes out, the manager goes, get your guitar, only you need to come with me right here. Okay. I walk backstage, we're out in the corner, and he says, just sit it right there, and I flip it, and I'm thinking, where is this? I turn around, right there, Stephen Curtis, hey, how you doing? Give me a hug. I said, try to find my tongue, you know, it's like, you're the man! Yeah! So I just lift him up, didn't want to hurt him, now he's got to sing. I said, did you sign this? Oh, absolutely. Where you want me to sign it? Anywhere you want to. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll sign my dad's on the back. Let me do that for you. He signed it up through there. And he said, let me see. Or go with it. Man, sounds good. Use it tonight if you want to. I mean, it's, he said, no, I got mine back here. It's the exact same guitar I use. Puts it back down there. And I gave him a book that Andy wrote. I said, you know, people always want stuff for you. I did get you autographed. Here's a book you can write, you can read. Here's a letter to you. Here's a picture of you from a Vine Center concert when you were about 22. Wow. Stick it in there and be young this Christmas. I love you. Give him a big hug. He said, okay. And the manager says, we have got to go. We've got to get you back here. And as he's turning around, he turns and goes, I thought, I just met Steve Christian. How many people got to go back and shake his hand out of everybody at Civic Center? In proportion, how many people do you think in Bethlehem went out to see the baby Jesus at night? But those who met him never forgot him. They walked home at night going, I have never been this way. I'll never get over this. Here. We're all waiting on Christmas. We're waiting on Christmas. Kids think that one day seems like an eternity. Is Christmas ever going to get here? We as adults go, it's Christmas in about 4 days. We can't believe Christmas is in 4 days. Adults just think the time's flying by. Kids think 4 days is might as well just be a year. We're waiting on Christmas to show up. Remember the breath of heaven, Christmas? So we're waiting on Jesus to come back. Well, I don't want us to be sitting in a chair. We've got to get active next year at LifePoint. That's my goal. God's already telling me. You've got to get out and tell people. They're going to think I'm crazy. You think they thought the shepherds were crazy? They didn't care. If I had come back around that, about the way I did, I come around the corner the other night, man, I had met the man. This couple beside me drove down from Annapolis, Maryland. They almost like, now who's that? That's Dean Kurt Chapman. I don't really know him. We came to see Third Day. I went, Third Day got through singing. Guess what the couple did? They left. You gonna miss Stephen Kurt Chapman? Yeah, we gotta get back. Here. You drove 4.5 hours to listen to Third Day for half an hour. You are a diehard fan, and you're also gonna miss the great guy singing. We're gonna miss Jesus. We're not careful. Got that Christmas shopping done?
Yeah,
that's three up. And we're like the shooting star example. And Christmas comes and goes, and we missed him. Celebrate the day heaven come down. That's what Christmas is. What are we supposed to do? Slow down. Slow a lot down. I gave you an example of music just a minute ago with the Beatles. Can you give me an example of this? A young man emerged from the metro subway station up there in D.C., leaning against the wall. Started playing for music. What did he play? Guitar like the Beatles? Nope. Thought he'd play something else. Story continues. Here's what he wore. Nationals. Washington Nats baseball cap. Small case. He got out his violin. Put a little seed money in there. That means people will come by. Oh, somebody's already given money. I'll pulse in a little bit more. And he began to play. What did he play? I'll tell you in a minute. Here's what. It was 7:51 in the morning. Well, nobody's awake. That's why they didn't pay attention. On January the 12th, 2007, in the middle of a rush hour when people were just flying through there, hurrying up and getting to their job, busy, gotta go. He played for 43 minutes, 1,097 people passed by, almost all of them were on their way to work, most of them worked in a governmental job, so we got the nucleus there, the federal, the Washington workers there, bureaucrats, policy analysts, project managers, facilitators, consultants, they all just fly by. Well, how many people even stopped to listen to this guy? This young man in a Nats shirt, long sleeve t-shirt, playing a violin. So maybe he wasn't any good. That's why they didn't stop and listen to him. You don't think he's any good? I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy before. He's a child prodigy. He was age 39 when he played this. This is Joshua Bell. He plays a $3.5 million violin. He played some of the most intricate pieces ever written. By Beethoven, Bach. This child prodigy had 3 days before it appeared at the metro station. Bell had filled the house at Boston's stately Symphony Hall, where just pretty good tickets cost $100. Remember the $5 buffet style for watching the Beatles? This guy's $100, and that's just for so-so seats. Later, he would play in standing room only. That with an audience so respectful that while he was playing, they would muffle their coughs and go out in the hall. They did not cough in front of him because he's so good. We don't want to insult the man. Joshua Bell is just another, musician out there. He's competing for the attention of people going by. He's the master. Nobody pays attention. Well, what'd he make? You ready? This guy can clock out $100 a seat. In 3/4 of an hour, Joshua Bell played. 7 people stopped what they were doing to hang around and listen. Just 7. They listened for about a minute. Most people went on by. Only 7 listened for at least a minute or more. 27 gave money, most of them on the run, for a total of $32. That's how much he made in almost an hour. $32. That leaves most of the people who went right on by. Never had a clue who he was. Because he didn't look that way. We don't expect the king to be in a little manger. We don't expect the king to be helpless. We don't expect it. This is the king of kings. This is Jesus. It doesn't look like it. And today he calls out to you right now from where I'm standing. And the Holy Spirit, not me, the Holy Spirit's on there and he goes, and he's calling out the hearts. And he goes, is that him? Yeah, the Holy Spirit's just speaking to the heart. Don't miss him. These people just walk right on by the master. This guy, a child prodigy, $3.5 million violin, can play standing room only, $100 a ticket, and he made 32. And by the way, one woman actually knew who he was. Out of these 27, a couple of people went, one person came by and went, good job. I saw you the other day. She put $20 of the 32 came from her. Joshua did. Jesus done that to me a few times. He humbles me and I said, Jesus, why on earth did I know what your heart is? Because he knows I can't get it out. So he says, just be still, know that I'm God. He gives me a heart. Now go tell people about me. Okay. That's the least I can do. It would appear that most people on the subway missed the master that day. It would appear that a lot of people in this world do what? They miss the master. In fact, the same thing happens today. This man shows up and he speaks to hearts and people who just don't even know who he is. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the King of Kings. Isaiah 9:6 says this. His name shall be what? Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God. Prince of Peace. This is Jesus, the man. You think meeting Stephen Curtis is something? Stephen Curtis would quickly bow before him. This is God Almighty. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. For to us a child is given, and to us a son is born. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Prince of Peace. And people walk by and listen to us. I'm telling you, the master still speaks. He's not a little baby in the manger anymore. Because he left that manger and grew up, worked with his hands in wood after being laid in wood. Fashioning furniture. And then at 30 years old, he left his home and became a traveling missionary. Sort of like a church planner. And just goes and takes the gospel with him. Some people believed, and some people had no idea who he was. Some people walked right by him, not knowing. Often the Pharisees got mad at him for saying who he was. People got mad at him for telling the truth. Because John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So you got to believe me. So consider these verses in closing. There's two choices we really make today. You say, well, I was expecting a Christmas message. You're sort of being serious. I don't want you to miss a master. He shows up and he says, Mary, can I just paraphrase, Mary? I want to come live in your heart, live in you. Are you sure you got the right person? Because why on earth did you pick me? Got something special for you. Got to have your permission. I don't force myself upon anybody. Got to come live in your life. May it be to me. May your word be to me fulfilled. In other words, whatever you say. From Luke chapter 1, Mary gave the okay. Yes, I want you to live in me. She was obedient to God's calling. Maybe you're married today, in a so to speak way. Sad to say, though, remember when she showed up? At the end, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There's no room for them in the inn. So when Joseph pulls his pregnant wife, who's been riding for 8 to 10 hours off of a donkey that's very uncomfortable, are you okay? Just give me a place to lay down. Okay, hang on. You know how y'all moms are? Not that you're cranky, but you're about to give birth. Y'all can probably bench press a pickup truck about that. Don't get in my face. I was coaching Jenny. Since I was a coach a lot in my life, I thought, Jenny, you ready? Push, push. Okay. And the doctor's like, you might have to push this time. She says, he's coming this time because I'm not going to do this very long. And I said, Jenny, I got ready. I said, Jenny, get out of my face. That's what I remember her saying. That's like, ready? And the doctor's like, well, you go. Oh, there he is. 10 pounds, 11.5 ounces. Yeah. And you know what I did? Started crying. Wow. That's a miracle right there. That's sort of like heaven come down because the Bible says children are a gift of the Lord. God just now gave me something. Jesus, for I knit you together in your mother's womb. Psalms 139 says, I knit you together and then I give you that gift. And that gift is about to come out of Mary. And so they go up and they frantically knock on the door and say, innkeeper, you've got to find this ring. I'm sorry, there's Mary. But you've got to. I just don't. There's an old, about like a cave over here to the side. Here's where we keep the animals. That'll do. And about that time, Joseph, I'm coming. I'm coming. Sure. Let's do it. You can have it. Yeah. Close it. You do realize, you realize just what you did. I wonder what that innkeeper later thought when they come up and say, "Is anybody you full up tonight? You know, turn anybody away?" Yes. Pregnant woman, her husband. Do you know that pregnant woman was a highly favored of God, and she's given birth to Jesus. So you didn't just turn her away; you turned me. Mm-hmm. I turned you away. Because you had no room for me. The innkeeper has to sit down now because he's got words going through his mind. I had no room for Jesus. So how about you? What do you do this Christmas with Jesus? You have room for him? You gonna be like Mary? Hey, whatever you say, Jesus, you're first. We'll get to tree presents and all that stuff later. You have got to be the center of Christmas. I urge you to sit down and read the Christmas story before you open up presents. That's a tradition at the Moser House. Before we open up a present, you gotta read through there. And in those days, they went out to grieve from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed. And it's just cool. I thought that was so good. God in his infinite wisdom, we got to get Joseph and me, got to get him. I got it. He put it in the mind of it. I think I'll have a decree that the world will be taxed and they're going to have to come back to their hometown. You realize what? That was the first time that was. That had ever happened. So we got to get them back. God works through even an evil king and the government there to get them back home. And Joseph, being the honest person, is going to go home and pay taxes. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary says. "Whatever you say." Yeah, no room. No room for you. Okay. Got room for Jesus? We need to consider this. Last thing. Right here is you and me, represented by this person praying. What are you going to pray? "Lord, you know what? I've waited long enough. I don't even have you in my heart. And you're asking me, like Mary, can I come live in you?" Way's over. I want you to come in a couple weeks and a couple months. I want people to say, "Man, you are showing. You're showing Jesus. Boy, what happened to you?" God's living in me. Wow. Or you say, "Man, maybe next week. Maybe next month. Maybe, I don't know. Don't have a room right. You just became an innkeeper." Well, let's pray. Dear Jesus, the challenge has been offered today from you, not me. "You have room for me." And Mary says, "Absolutely. I'm your servant. Come into my life. Take me over. And it's going to be a long time growing up. Get bigger and finally giving birth to a Messiah that I believe would come along." That's what Mary thought. And she probably even had a thought running through her mind, "Are you sure you got the right person?" We too often say, "God, why on earth would you die for a person like me? I've sinned so much. Why would you die for me?" And yet you did. So maybe says, "Mary, it is as you say. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." Maybe we're away from you. Maybe we just let you get off center stage. And Lord, may today we be reminded you need to get back in top position, sitting on the throne in our heart. May we put you first before we do anything else. May you be the centerpiece. And I pray today, Jesus, as you speak to our hearts, that no one would ever think, I don't have room for you right now. So, Jesus, may you take your proper place in life. So, with your head bowed and eyes closed, nobody moving around, just in a quiet, sort of sacred moment that it is, I ask you, is there anyone here that would say, "I want to invite Jesus in my heart"? Anyone? Because you got to make room for him. And if there's not any room, then something else needs to go and he needs to come in. Is there one here that can say, "You know what, I feel like I've let him sort of slide to the side. He needs to come back"? Anybody say, "Pray for me as you close, just to put Jesus in his proper place"? Does anybody think that way? As God speaks to your heart, whatever he's challenging you to do, as a closing prayer, let me pray for you to carry through on that commitment decision with Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, as we close, I pray for from my heart to yours. Lord, I don't want to miss the Mass. I don't want Christmas to fly by and then we realize we never even slowed down. It was your birthday and we didn't even celebrate it. We got our gifts up, got a tree up, got presents under, got everything done. Jesus, if we don't sit quietly and just enjoy you. And if we picture how Mary and Joseph, what they went through. Jesus, it's nice. We just make ourselves part of the story. Jesus, we'll read a book sometimes and we just picture ourselves in that story. No, we do that with the Christmas story this time. Would we be one of the shepherds racing out to see you? Would we be astonished that the heavenly host sang so loud and proud, you weren't going to let your son enter this earth without at least some people knowing about it? Or Jesus, will we be those that just sort of stay home, forget all about you, and we miss the Master? It's like Joshua Bell showing up, plays, and nobody even knows who he is. Jesus, you walk among us today. Thank you for being our visitor and our guest. Lord, the unseen, but certainly welcome. Bless us, Lord Jesus, today. Help these people who've made commitments and challenges to you today. Share that with others so we pray and rejoice with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we close in a prayer.